Good morning from Cork, from Paul O'Mahony. I'm setting out on my way to work. It's just after 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, and it's raining and it's been foggy, and I'm kind of wondering whether Cork International Airport's going to be closed again today. And that's, yeah, so Monday morning. I'm going to talk in this audio boo. I'm going to give you a little story, really, I suppose, about my depression and some thoughts I've had that I'd like to pass on. And I've just come off the phone with one of my sisters-in-law who, in the course of the conversation, said to me, "Oh, look, I was going to ring you back about something, but I wasn't sure if I'd be putting too much pressure on you, so I held back." And she said, "I'm really glad to hear you on the phone," and she said what she was going to do about the thing that she was talking about. But that led to a short conversation about this, and it is about how much do people feel that they should hold back when they're getting in touch with somebody who they know to have depression, and particularly if it's quite a serious bout of depression. How much do they hold in the impulse to ring the person up, to go and knock on their door, to send them a text message, to send them an email, or just cross the road to say hello to them? How much? It is possible that quite a lot of people hold back from getting in touch with you if you have depression, that they don't know what to do, and that instead of it being what people sometimes think of, oh, you're isolated and cut off and people avoid you and they don't include you, and I used to think once upon a time that maybe it was that people felt that they could drag them down to go and have a conversation with somebody who was down, the way you'd kind of pick up a cold off somebody or you pick up the flu off them. So they were kind of keeping out of the way of the depression germ. I used to think that at one stage, it was one of the thoughts I used to have. And then that sort of faded away and was replaced by another thought, which is the one that came up in the conversation between me and my sister-in-law. And it's this, really. I wonder, to what extent is the silence and the avoidance of the depressed person caused by confusion and uncertainty, lack of confidence, and even genuine caring? To what extent is that the reason? In other words, somebody who isn't depressed is faced with, or they have in their mind somebody who is depressed, and they say to themselves, "Well, look, if I ring that person up, I'll be putting additional pressure on them. They probably won't want to answer the phone. And if they do answer the phone, it'll probably be something that a phone call that they won't really enjoy. And they'll probably be only dying to get off the phone with me. And if I do ring and the phone goes off and they don't answer it, they're going to feel bad about themselves. So I won't do anything. Right? I'll hold back. I'll wait." And of course, if you wait and the impulse passes, it could be quite a while before you get in touch with the person. And this would apply to any form of communication, including literally the communication with somebody who you see on the other side of the road. And then you decide, look, I'll give them their space. They're obviously not in a good emotional state. And the person has a real caring attitude, but is confused and unsure, uncertain, lacking in confidence about what to do. Now, if this collection of emotions is close to the normal or the norm, what are its implications? Because I think there are some big implications of it. And in a nutshell, it comes down to the question, really, who is really responsible, or who best holds the responsibility for altering such a state of affairs? And in my humble opinion, these days, it is people like me who experience mental health unwellness who, when we are well, when we're well enough to do it, are best placed to educate and inform and help people who are genuinely well motivated but unsure what to do. In other words, it would be good if I told friends and other people too, what would be the best way, best thing to do in relation to me when I'm depressed. You know, is it best to not phone me? Is it best to call to the house? It's my responsibility because I'm a one-off person. I'm, you know, different from another person who's anybody else, actually, but particularly somebody who has depression in this case. But I'm different, so all I can say is really based upon what is best for me. I can speak out of a lot of confidence or out of a lot of experience about that. You know, whether this applies to anybody else in the world, I have no concrete evidence. I have a little bit of knowledge, I suppose, or a little bit of hearsay knowledge, because when I go to mental health self-help groups run by Aware or under the banner of Aware in Ireland, I listen to an awful lot of people talking about their reaction to depression, and even over a cup of tea after the meetings, it sometimes comes up, you know, or it has come up, that I'd find out what other people think is the best thing for people to do in relation to them. But the point I'm getting to, I can tell you this, I don't mind you knowing this at all, but for me, the best thing that other people can do is get in touch. Ring up, leave a phone message. If I don't answer the phone, send me a text message, send me an email. Don't contact me and say, is it okay if I come round? Just come round, come to the door, knock on the door. You know, if I open the door, say I've come to have a cup of coffee with you, I won't stay long. But basically, come forward towards me and don't let my lack of openness or my lack of, my unwellness determine your behaviour. I will, even if I don't answer you, if you send me tweets or send me audio boos, even if I don't answer them, I will deeply appreciate them, even if I don't appreciate them until a little bit later. But there's no question about it, in my mind, I have the responsibility for telling you that. You know, there's just no way you could know that that is, for me, the best way. So if I say nothing, you know, to you or to anybody else, it's going to be to my own detriment, you know. And then, of course, I may, or some people will do this, I don't think I'll do it, but I may, you know, blame other people for avoiding me and say other people don't understand. People don't understand depression. In fact, I think that an awful lot more people understand depression than we give credit to, because there's hardly a person I know, certainly here in Ireland, who doesn't have in their extended family and friends, and certainly in their acquaintances, people have had significant mental health unwellness. So it's not like as if, well, of course, everybody for certain knows people who have ups and downs, and it's Monday morning, and, you know, why wouldn't you in some cases be feeling down on a Monday morning until you got going, let's say. Even the best feel not too well when they wake up on Monday morning and go, oh my goodness, another week. But I've forgotten what I was going to say. I really have. That's life, you know. I actually forget. what I was going to say. But my main point is to encourage you and everybody else who listens to this, to, if you're ever unsure what to do, follow your own initial impulse of what you feel you want to do in relation to the other person, and don't be asking the person who's depressed what they would like, because they won't perhaps even be able to answer you. The person will, I would say, or I certainly, I know for sure, but the person is will appreciate it. I know what I was going to say, that people have much more experience of depression than we give them credit for. And I have to say that in my experience, people are much, much kinder than they're given credit to, than they're given credit for. And if they don't appear kind, it's often driven by confusion and uncertainty and genuine care, but lack of confidence about what to do. So that's Monday morning. Is that a good deed for the day? I don't know. If this audiobook has stirred up any feelings for you, then any feelings in you, then please talk to other people about it. And if you'd like to come back to me about it, I'd be very happy to have a conversation with you about it, publicly or privately via direct messaging. Okay, it's Paul O'Mahony. Thank you very, very much for listening. All the best, and have a very good week. And let's all be good to others. Bye.